Good morning, Anna.
Hello, good morning. Hi, Nurse Juan.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Nurse Anna. Good morning, Nurse Juan. We are so happy to have you here. They could not join, but thank you for coming, Nurse Juan.
Last minute again, huh? Always available.
Of course. And we have a very special topic today, guys. Today's episode 44. Can you believe it? Episode 44 of DNP Unlocked. We're talking about nurse-patient ratios, but for our viewers, our past shows are available in podcasts, all right? And Nurse Juan has been our special guest multiple times. So please follow us in Apple Podcast. And Spotify podcast. And how are you doing, Nurse Juan and Nurse Anna?
Nurse Anna, come on.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Now, well, it's kind of getting cold here in New York. Yes, few more weeks, and we're entering into fall season. And our topic is very, controversial. Because this is one of the most talked topics in my hospital. And I can't wait to share all of the things and bits of this. But other than that, I had a rough night last night. And yes, I almost rode a helicopter last night, Nurse One and the Nurse
One. We're going to test for a patient?
Yes, because we are short staff. Thank you, Nurse Juan. We're not short of you.
We're not short staff today.
I'm just lucky, I'm awake. I'm not doing anything. It's like, I remember there's a live show tonight or today. So I was like, let's join.
And
I like these topics also. So
every Sunday that you're available, you're always welcome to join. And
you know
the crazy part is we hear the word short staffing all the time. And you know, when I used to work in the Philippines, guys, it's we don't complain, right? Like I would run
the normal. ER
with, I would run the ER with two nurses. So when I moved there, when they gave me four patients, I said that's it, four patients. But I didn't realize that because of more expanded scope for nurses here and a little more autonomy, I didn't realize that even though it's four, it still feels like running the whole ER. That's at least for me. So four, but lots of responsibilities still. And you're always scared that somebody will sue you. So you're always on your guard. But our template for nurse-patient ratio is actually California. So I hope it's like that in the whole country, but today we're going to talk about nurse-patient ratios and what immigrant nurses who have practiced somewhere else need to know about that, right?
How about you, for Nurse Juan? How are you been going this past few days?
So far, so good. Can't really complain. Got a couple of good news, but I'll keep it in a few more weeks before I give some good news.
We'll wait
in your social media for sure.
So there's a lot going on personal life, so a little bit busy on doing the stuff, so less social media things, but sometimes it is what it is, so we just have to do whatever we can. So far for work, been pretty much stable for the last 1 year. I've been a year now in my place here as a local travel nurse, so it's like time flies.
In California, right?
No, I'm not in California. I'm still here in Kentucky.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. How's the fried chicken?
Still okay.
Midwest, love it. So is there nurse-patient ratio in Midwest?
Not per se. They're trying to implement some of it now, but it's still not implemented. So that's why I also want to give some information, because I think my state has a mixture of how many ratios, like different versions for the last four hospitals that work here. So it's every hospital is different. And we really wish it's the same with California.
California. So, California won.
which is not, unfortunately. I think Oregon also adopted similar to what California is doing.
I think so, because they're neighbors to California. I think I've heard some nurses have nurse patient ratio mandates there too, which is, you know, that's how it should be in the whole country. So California nurses, you guys are peers in California. You guys are spoiled.
Marvin, that's good. Marvin.
Well, yeah, Marvin is not even here to join us. Yeah. And let's acknowledge our viewers today, Anna.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. I know a lot of people are waiting for this, especially the upcoming nurses. Congratulations for those who are current, right? There's one.
Yes, yes. We moved 2 years.
We are so happy for you. We're so happy. Congratulations for not giving up. For even if progression happened, yay, current. Yeah. Happy Milola in the next time.
Yes. All three of us here are products of retrogression. Right? Yeah. Especially those people that have not taken NCLEX yet. I don't think there's a reason to celebrate just yet. Pass your NCLEX first. You know, there's a Nurse Juan, I don't know if you guys get this message, Anna and Kay. Kay is not here with us today. She has a family event. But I don't know if you guys are getting this message, but a lot of our immigrant nurses think that because of retrogression, they could not apply for EB3 or I-140. But I keep saying you can still apply. You can still find employers, right? It's just that you're not going to get interviewed. You're going to stop at National Nurses Center. So there's an idea that because of retrogression, nobody would hire. That's not true because hiring is continuous, right? And the earlier that you can get hired is actually the better, because that's how the priority date is stamped. So always remember this. If you don't have a priority date, you should not be worried about retrogression yet, because it will not affect you, because there's no process just yet. So that's it. That's my message.
Yeah. You have to be on the queue first. Okay. Yes, you have to be on the queue. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if there's no PD, you're not in the queue, and everything is useless. The waiting period. Okay. That's actually one of my mistakes before, Sir Paul. I had some issues with my hospital that provided me with a priority date, and it ended up not giving me one for last 2 years. So waiting time.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes.
Well, how many years? How many years in total you waited? Got me right there.
They were like having some pending issues. It was the means of we're in the start of retrogression. So they were giving us experience. So I was okay getting experience from that hospital. But the processing of the priority date wasn't really going as smooth as it's supposed to be. So I was there like for 2 or 3 years. Then they finally told me that they can't do anything about the priority date. And so that was my first...
No! You're here now, right?
Yes. You know, right. Everything now is in the past. Yeah, yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my case, what happened was I was actually abandoned after waiting for like 5-6 years, and I'm going current in the following month. And my employer is like, nah, you don't have current bedside experience. We're gonna drop you for now and we're gonna find someone else. So that's the hard part. They didn't consider teaching as because they want bedside. Yeah. So I had to look for an employer that actually counts my teaching experience as well. So it's a little hard, but look at us now. Look backwards.
Malayo na.
We never gave up.
Malayo na natin, yes. The ultimate, for me, the ultimate dream for nurses pa rin from the Philippines, or even from our folks from Africa, because there's watchers from African region, South America. I think the ultimate goal is still the US, because they always see how much nurses are getting paid here. Even my peers in UK, we get to compare. Nurses here still make a lot of money, especially if you're in California, like our rich nurse, Marvin.
Marvin, who always go home in the Philippines every 3 months.
Yes, because it's RN rich, rich nurse
in California.
Yeah. Or a Marvin the Explorer.
But even then,
you're
even
right, Marvin the Explorer.
Marvin the Explorer. That should be his social media name. Hi, Marvin. he said he couldn't join because his internet in the Philippines is bad.
That's so, what happened when you're not here?
we talk about people who are not here. But. Anyway, but yeah, that's actually a good news that it moved. Hopefully it stays like that. I'm a little nervous with how it is. Cross fingers, hopefully it moves. But regardless, we just want to encourage nurses to keep applying, keep finding employers, and just don't sign out of desperation. I know everybody wants to go to the US, but you don't want to be in the news in Lefora because you're part of the lawsuit or your employer sued you. That's really not a good experience. We're lucky, Nurse Juan and Nurse Anna, that we have, we didn't have that experience where we had to sue our employers. I know Anna had to leave her employer or something like that. I'm not sure. With me, I finished my contract, no problem. So, it kind of like took off another burden for me because it's so hard to move over here. I thought I was a very independent person, but when I got here, within the first 3 to 6 months, I'm like, I'm about to pack my stuff and go back to the Philippines, The homesickness is real, right? Especially I was single. I didn't have anybody. I have new friends, but I feel like, oh my God, I'm going back to start. I'm already a professor in the Philippines. I run a business. Something like that. What do you guys think?
Well, when I arrived here 9 years ago, just like you, I was also abandoned. Not one, twice. I was abandoned twice. And I was progression 8 years. I arrived here with my family, with my husband and daughter, from a 4-year-old then. But we don't know anyone. We have no friends, no relatives. So all by ourselves, ang drama namin. So it was hard, but you know what? From Nurse Paul and Nurse Juan, I think the best thing I can advise for our future immigrant nurses is to never give up. Never stop prepping for your American dream. You're graduating for BSN, we're blessed, we have 4 years, like your local board, and like Nurse Juan said in his one of his videos, I Nurse Juan, I follow you and I watch you. If you can, notifications on. If you can, take your MCLEX ASAP, right, Nurse Juan?
Right.
At the end of the day, yung pa rin ang gagawin mo eh. So why procrastinate? So go stop.
And you have other advantages if you're like in the Philippines or like you can work for like call centers and earn like I think they're BCO. Earning like 1,000 to 100,000 pesos now for having a USRN license. So that's a really nice side hustle if you're not able to work in the US yet. And and for me, it's one of my best experiences working in a BPO under a USRN license. It was like an eye opener versus working in the hospital for me. So that was a big leap for me.
That's insurance, right? Utilization manager. So you that's are. The nursing job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's pretty good money when you're in the Philippines. So our Filipino folks, you are lucky because we have BPO that offers really good money for US nurses or NCLEX passers. In other countries like Africa or South America, or I'm sorry, regions, and even Europe, they don't have that. But, there's still option for our Asian folks to work in Middle East or Europe. So a lot of them are in Germany waiting. But the main goal is to do something productive related to nursing, try not to move out of nursing while waiting for the U.S. Because the ultimate goal is still to go to the U.S., right?
Amen. Like, look at Canada, very near to me in New York, but they still want to come here in the U.S. So please don't stop. And if you are watching, our topic today is very controversial and it will help you because a lot of people are sending me messages. I know you too also receive even Uba ang Reiso when you were in Medford or nursing home. And like pay always answer in the order. In New York, one is full, the whole hospital. So I'm not sure about
the whole OR floor.
Yes, I'm not sure in Texas or in Kentucky. Actually, we have a good location, different area. The partners all work in ER. Meanwhile, Nurse One work in floor, and I work in nursing home before, and now I'm working in OR. Sometimes I got pulled up in recovery room or labor and delivery. So we have so much things to share about nurse Asian ratio. So let's go dive in.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. Why do we need to have a conversation about nurse-patient ratio For our immigrant nursing folks, why do we need to talk about nursing patient ratio? Why do we always hear this talk in American nursing groups, and why is everybody complaining about it?
So for me, on your interview stage, it is one of the best questions that you should ask. Okay, yeah. That's the tone of your US dream. Like for me, I didn't know like 1:8 to 10 was super high at the time. So that was my ratio in my hospital. And actually the average
for normal.
Yeah, that was a normal for that hospital. And I thought it was,
it was good.
It was good. It was bad.
No, because in the Philippines you have 20 or something, right? Yeah. So you thought, oh, this is good. It's 8.
So, yes. I think I have a 14 to 16 average duration in the Philippines. So it's like 10.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So money lang yon. So but yeah. It wasn't. Okay. So different. It was hard. Thankfully, the hospital was bought by another hospital. It went down to 7 to 8, which is
still a lot.
So it's like, yeah. So if you guys would have the opportunity, 6-7 is like high, a bit, little bit going to the high, but normal high. Okay, 5 to 6 is most like typical in most places, from what I understand. Okay, so that's one point I can give you guys. That's why we're discussing this. So kind of help you evade some of the hospitals, and mm-hmm. hopefully you can put those into writing, because if not, that might not be worth fighting for. You get some issues. Boodle is real sometimes in the US also. So
true, yes. You got to stand your ground too, because mm-hmm. they think as immigrants, there's a stereotype that they're just going to say yes, you know, because, oh, they're new.
Definitely as Filipino, right?
They sound different. Yes, they look different. They say they're new here. They're naive. They're just going to say yes. So let's give them 8 while we get 6. But guys, you know, 8... like with me, I am telling you guys, when they told me I'm gonna get 4 patients in the ER, and in my last ER job in the Philippines, we would get the whole ER, and there's only 2 of us, so we could be running codes. It's just us and the resident, something like that. But so far, it's like, wow, that's like super chill, but it's not, because so much responsibility. Primary care is primary care here. You probably would have tech, and you're lucky if the tech likes you.
And you have no relative, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes
the tech is like Philippines too. I've been here for 20 years. Okay, I'm just asking you to help me with the vitals. Good thing vitals are electronic. But, you know, it's hard. It's a lot of work because you got to situate patients. They can complain about you. They can put you in TikTok, Google review, get your name, find you in the database, report you to the nursing board, report you to the patient advocate for something like just because you didn't help them sit up, or probably just because you didn't answer the call bell because you're resuscitating someone the other door. So something like that. The stress is real. Like 4 patients, but it feels like, whew, why do I feel I'm so stressed every night I go to work? So something like that.
Yeah. And for me, Sir Paul, when I moved here, that during the time I had the 8 to 10 patient, it wasn't that bad for me. Compared to when I was working in Singapore, I also had 10 patients during the nighttime, 10 to 11. I was like drop dead, sweating at the end of the shift. So that's how
that
bad.
Gorgeous, right? Drop dead gorgeous.
Yes, sweating, gorgeous. So that's how bad my routine was in Singapore. But when I moved here in the US, even though it's 10, I felt sleepy most of the night shift, which is weird. It wasn't as busy. But that was given because I had a more difficult experience before that. But for those who didn't have that kind of experience, 10 will be super, super overwhelming. Okay.
Yeah,
so I would really suggest no. Okay. That's one thing. So filter is the key word.
And probably perhaps it's also different per workplace, you know, because I've seen some nurses accept a job to, for example, level 1 facilities. Yeah. I'm 37, one and Anna. I feel like for me, if I'm 21, 22, I'm new to nursing and I want to go ER, I want to learn in level 1. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we know how bad it is or how busy it is, right? Because I work at level 3, level 2. And I'm like, I'm going to stay in my freestanding ER. Level 2 is going to be my PRN. I don't want to be full-time there, because you're full-time. Oh my God, you're going to get so exhausted. But then months later, we would see them quitting their jobs and finding somewhere else, because it's not as what they expected. Because when you work in high acuity academic facilities, you have to remember all sick patients from surrounding counties and neighboring states will be flown there. For me in ER, I work ER, I work trauma, but when I worked in higher level facilities, now I get A-line patients, patients on all these devices coming in from other hospital that needs to go to our ICU, but because ICU is full, I'm that nurse who will take care of this patient. That's, for me, there are, you know, we all have our limitations. So I'm like, this is too busy. I feel like someone's really going to die on my shift all the time. Like, please not, try not to die, all right? Because I'm still with another patient. Please wait for
not
me.
Okay.
I'm always on my toes. So it's overwhelming sometimes when with different facilities, because I've also had facilities that are really good, like regular pace. You know, it's busy, but it's not like I'm running around and exhausted all day. Yeah, something like that. So I think it also matters as to where you work, because if you work in a non-academic facility, semi-rural, semi-urban, perhaps better than when you work in academic facility. So it's not all, you know, like, oh, I want to work in, you know, in a level one facility, Johns Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, we have a special guest in the background is getting set up. I see him because I have the admin. We're going to bring him in because, you know, template of nurse patient ratio is California. So we need a California nurse here.
California nurse.
Yep, I think it's getting set up right now. So admin, moderator will work with him until he can get in. But Nurse Marvin is in the background.
Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. Hi, good morning or good evening here in Zamboanga City. Currently, right now, I'm in the Philippines. So please bear with me. I don't know what there might be some interruptions.
Yep.
It's fun in the Philippines.
More fun.
Right.
Because they're Marvin.
It's buenos dias. Buenos dias, Nurse Paul. Nurse Paul, Nurse Juan, and Anna. Buenos dias. Buenas noches. Buenas noches.
Buenos dias. Buenos dias, amigo. Yep. Marvin, we're in the middle of talking about. We're in the middle of talking about nurse patient ratio. So I think it's very timely for us to talk about it because you're here. And you can also give us insights from California. So we have Anna from East Coast working OR and nursing home. We have Nurse Juan working floors in the Midwest. You have me, ER, in the South. And Marvin, ER, in the West Coast.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
I think we got every region covered. Anyway, why is it important to talk about nurse-patient ratio? One was sharing something earlier about, you know, being prepared before coming over here, because it's not what you think. Like, you still have to have bedside experience. At least when you get over here, you feel like it's a little easier versus you're learning your skills here because you didn't have bedside experience. Anna, how important is nurse-patient ratio?
When I work in a nursing home, I have no experience at all in a nursing home. So when I had my interview, when I was in the Philippines, the nursing home hiring me, I asked that. I know in myself, I have no experience. So I want to know how many patients I will take care of. And they told me, you're going to work in the morning, you have a lesser patient, like one nurse is five in a nursing home, a graduate nursing home. But when you work night, you will have 7 or 8 patients at night. So it's very important. At least I know what I'm expecting for. I know what number for how many teams or residents I will air off. Because it's a whole new role from OR, and then they assign me in a nursing home. So it's very important to know that. And at the same time, I will know how to, you know, balance the time for me. I know in myself, I have no floor experience. So that was my number one question, Nurse Juan, when they interviewed me. Like what I said, all my career in the Philippines for 12 years, I worked in the OR. Miss Gold, besides during your interview, ask that how many patients or nurse patient ratio if I'm gonna work in a nursing home, in a hospital, will not be overwhelmed, will not be blinded by, oh, you're already paid X amount per hour. Be smart, you for nurses. Mm-hmm. Right, for Marvin?
And Marvin, how is it important for us to talk about nurse-patient ratio? Since you also work in Texas and now you moved to California, how important it is for us to talk about nurse-patient ratio, especially for our immigrant nurses coming over here or are new here in the States and are listening to us right now?
All right. So when you say patient nurse-patient ratio, we also deal with staff ratio. So it is very important for us to discuss because we are dealing with life. So again, we are not Superman, we're not Wonder Woman, we're not Darna. So we're not here like in the Philippines, like one is to the entire ward. So I remember before when I used to work in the Philippines. So when I was assigned to the entire ward, so some of the wards are very easy because some of the patients are walkie-talkie. But how about if you are into like a very sick like ER and also like ICU? And even now, I've been to some of the hospitals, like I visit them, there's no staff ratio or there's no safe patient ratio. Again, we're dealing with quality care. Number one, patient safety. So because like if you have limited resources, like limited manpower, for sure you cannot equally divide your time with all those patients depending on their acuity. So remember, you have only one license, and you have like every patient has his only one life. So if you miss something important based from your assessment, you fail to give this one, then definitely something might happen, and for sure you might be risking your license. Now, when after transitioning to the Middle East, we have ratio, but sometimes it can be flex enough, even though your acuity is so high, still they're not following it. So when I came to the U.S., I was really shocked, especially when I came in Texas. In the ER, it's 1:4, but sometimes if you have ICU patients, it's 1:2, but it's not, I mean, it really depends on the charge nurse. It's not legally mandated, but in the California, most of the California hospitals are governed by union, and the union dictates safety. So in our ER, regular patient, one nurse is to four patients. Or if, for example, you had a very sick patient that turns to be ICU, then definitely that's 1:2. Actual trauma resuscitation is 1:1. Actual stroke resuscitation is 1:1. Also, there's what we call like, performance basis, or depending on the resources needed. Like if you need to have an eye drop every 5 minutes, because some of the eye drops are like 5 minutes and we have three medications, that 1:1. It's also based on skills. Now, it will only become 1:2, it becomes ICU, and then if it's not any more trauma, there's no trauma resuscitation present. But it really helped me to give quality care, and it also boosts my confidence because like I know in the midst of chaos, there are things that you can control. Now, at any time you become out of ratio, we file ADO. Or in harbor in some of the states, because like it's your right. Again, you have only one license, so you need to protect it. And patient has only one life. Make sure, guys, that you have the available resources that you need, and also safe ratio. Don't be a Superman. Don't be a Wonder Woman here, because like you can only save much. All right. So that's for me in here, California.
Thank you so much. How about you, Nurse One? How many nurses, patients do they give to you? And what happens, or what do you do, or what could you do if they're giving you more, or even if it's maxed out with your ratio, but the acuity is difficult to where you need to be in one patient or something like that? What are the steps that you take?
Okay. So far for me, Sir Paul, for the last four hospitals that work here, even though it's like if I'm already maxed with the patient, they don't normally give us an extra patient. So usually they defer it to somewhere else. But if I have a scenario wherein there's a really difficult patient, I most likely coordinate with a charge nurse. We typically have a charge nurse that can handle or aid you during those time. And I will tell them, frankly, that I'm busy, I have to focus on this. So if you don't mind, just help me with a little bit with other patients or with this kind of patient, just to you know, just to provide a proper care, because it is what it is. Sometimes some nights are really bad, especially if someone is like getting to the point wherein they need to be transferred to the ICU or PCU, but they're still in the midst of working for it. So you definitely have to focus on your patient, and some of the other patients will be left behind a little bit. Okay, right. So that's where teamwork comes in. So when that happens, having good team members or colleagues will really, really mean a lot. Okay, so that's why having good relationship in your work place is also an important thing. Okay, yeah. So try not to burn any bridges. Okay, so try not to, especially like if, for Filipinos coming to the US, we try not to bring our Filipino kind of nursing way, wherein like a toxican or yung during endorsement is like, why you never do this? Why you never do this? Or you have to do this before you go home. So that's one of the typical ways wherein I've noticed for new nurses here in the floors, wherein they get isolated, or the nurses here, they tend to stay away from them because of that kind of mentality, or you know, how we were raised back home. So so
seniority.
So just coordinate, and like what Sir Marvin said, don't be a hero. Okay, you really have to maximize your resources when taking care of our patients, because lawsuit is always just there, just waiting. Okay, and you'll never know. Sometimes you'll just realize that someone complained about you a week or 2 weeks after, and so that's not a good scenario for you, really. So just do your best and try to coordinate things to help everything for you and your patient.
Correct. How about you, Anna? What was your experience about nurse-patient ratio? How many patients do you handle? We know your OR or in your nursing home practice. But and what also could you do if the nurse-patient ratio is not what you're expecting? Suddenly, they're giving you two or three patients.
Quite experience what Nurse Juan was saying about the female type of endorsement. So what I said when I arrived in New York, they assigned me in a nursing home, or the exact nursing home, and it was a whole new experience for me. I worked night, so they assigned me 8 patients. And mind you, these residents are from newborn to 18-year-old. So sometimes I have a patient in nursery, like babies. You know, they have hypocephalus, they have a lot of congenital defects. And then I also have another patient outside who are like 13-year-old up to 18. So it was really hard for me during those times. I don't know about nurse people. You know, I was shy. I want to be a team player. I don't want to be accused of you're not being a team player, you're not being a helper. I thought all Filipino nurses are good, and I was like, yes, but you're giving me 8 patients, and it's supposed to be only 6 every night, because some of them have ventilators. So, I mean, in ICU, you're only allowed 2, right? I have no experience in ICU, but my husband used to work in ICU. So, during those 1.5 years working in a nursing home, it was rough because of the nurse-patient ratio, especially when someone called out and go on a ward. So the worst assignment that I get was 1-10. And I almost quit, but I said, go quit. I have 1 more month left before my contract ends. So now that I went back to my first love, OR, I am blessed. I am saved. I only have 1-1 room. But when I was in the Philippines, guys, I was assigned 3 rooms. OR1, a counting instrument. OR2, I'm securing the specimen. OR3, I was prepping. Here in US, that is not allowed. If you're an OR nurse, which I believe I want to be biased, right, Clay? OR is the best area because we only work in one room. One-on-one patient air, you're only assigned in room 1. If you have 5 patients, that's it. You know, so I am blessed in the OR, but at one point, I was pulled out in labor and delivery, and they want to give me like 4 or 5. I was like, hell no. Those are women who are pregnant, their hormones are up to my height or higher than my height. I said no. The way I approach it, you know, I talk to my partner, I call them, and we have union. Most of the hospital in New York have union, but they are not like California, for Marvin is the most blessed of them all. So sometimes it happens that even if we have union, our nurse ratio are still out of the same one. So for Marvin, you call it harbor, right? Here we call it unpaid staffing document. So that's what we file, and you just filing it. Currently in the hospital that I am working right now, we're having a lot of issue in medical personnel, in telemetry. We have no tech. I almost got pulled up the other night to be a tech in Florida. I was like, hey, we're from a hospital. What if I have a trauma? You're going to pull me back in? They only have two nurses, and one of them have 11 patients. And mind you, we're union hospital. So we are on the verge of, you know what I meant. So strike. Those are my experience.
Yeah. With me in Texas, Marvin practiced here too. We don't have mandated ratio, but we don't have it. We have 1:4, which is the accepted ratio. It's not mandated, which means a hospital can blow past 4 anytime. If we say, well, we talked about 1:4, there's no law. I'll give you a 5th one, right? When we do fast track, we do 1:6. Depending on the facility, I've worked in semi-urban, semi-rural, or critical access hospital. We could be 1:4 even if one patient just, you know, rost or ICU intubated. We could be 1:4 because there's not a lot of nurses. You know, staffing shortage is real. But I worked in bigger hospitals here in Houston too, where we get 1:1, just like with Marvin, for stroke or for higher acuity patients like trauma level 1 or something like that. But again, it all boils down to staffing shortage. But we don't have a mandate. We do have and I've used it multiple times. Thank the Lord for that. It's called safe harbor. So I think I think we're only one of the few states with a board of nursing mandate or law for safe harbor. So safe harbor allows you to if, for example, two ways. If you're given orders to where you're not comfortable doing it, or you think it's not safe for patient, but the provider is forcing you to do it, safe harbor. And the other one is for staffing ratio. All right. And let me tell you right now, it's super effective because it's a board of nursing law. You can fax the report to the board of nursing. Your hospital is required to do something about it. So one time they gave us 1:7 in a crazy ER staffing shortage. Our manager didn't do anything about it. He knows that two nurses are going to call off because, you know, weekends, especially in the ER, especially when you're working with baby nurses, sometimes they love to party on the weekends. And it's
Friday,
always
Saturday.
35, 40 years old that are working weekends, because where's our baby nurses? They're out partying. Yeah. They could be in the ER as a patient when they're drunk. I'm just kidding. But the point is, we always know when it's a weekend, you need to have coverage because people call in all the time. Well, guess what? One Sunday morning, 3 of us came in. Charge nurse, 2 nurses. That's me and the other nurse. That's including triage. So 1 charge nurse, 1 triage nurse, 1 ER nurse. And we have a packed ER, 15 patients on the bed, small ER, and probably 30 in the lobby. Well, what did we do in the first hour? Safe harbor. And of course, our manager and director showed up. They're nurses again. They're in the floor. And they were forced to come in on a Sunday. But I mean, stuff like that. Not many states have that advantage, right? I'm looking at nursejournal.org right now, and guys, I've noticed that there's only a few states with mandated staff ratios, right? Or nursing patient ratios. Example, Oregon, California, New York just passed it in 2021, Oregon in 2024, California in 2004. Guys, we are 20 years behind California. Good thing I have California license. I'm about to Yeah, benta ko na yung bahay ko dito sa Houston. Lipad ako sa
California.
New York, yeah.
Sunny California.
Yeah, Massachusetts, always sunny, not like here in Houston. Huh? Massachusetts, yeah. Passed it in 2014. Wow, Massachusetts, doing the right thing. Other states with pending legislation now, PA, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Maine, Illinois. I worked in Chicago. We didn't have ratios when I was there. Illinois, New Jersey. That's it. Sad story, right? And I see Nurse One showing the National Nurses United advocacy for mandated national ratio. Can we show that picture?
Yeah, sure.
Because this is based in California, right? And I might have a copy as well. Yeah, what do you think about this, guys? What do you think about this? Why are only like few states having this mandated ratio? And why is it important to do mandated ratios? Anna, we can't hear you.
Oh, it's very important because, you know, aside from the client or the patient, or all of us nursing, so we're not gonna be burned out. I mean, I know we're earning for our year, but you know, our mental and physical health are the priority. How are you gonna also use that hard-earned money if you're sick, right? Right?
Yes.
So it's not just all about the patient, not all about your license, but also your mental and your physical state. We're not getting young, you know?
Yeah. And actually, Marvin said something very important earlier, that what happens when you don't have correct ratio, patients' safety can suffer.
Patient safety, because like, again, so patient ratio or nurse staffing ratio is actually like double-edged sword. It affects not only the nurses, but most importantly, your patient. So again, there are a lot of like, as what Nurse One was saying, the common reasons why our nurses are getting sued is, number one, failure to monitor. If you have like 30 in the lobby, how can you monitor them? The next thing that the patient and the nurses are getting sued is failure to give intervention on a timely manner. If you have like 2 ICU patients and you don't know the other one is stroking and you're doing CPR on the other, like, of course, like, you only can save one. And then the other instance that the nurse can actually get sued is, aside from getting, is like relaying important lab results. So if you are not, because like there's a rule in California that once you receive a critical result, you have to inform your doctor about it within an hour. And then if you fail to do it or give intervention about it, then so every time lapse is increase of mortality. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I want to emphasize this, especially for non-ER. So if your unit is on max capacity, like for example, if you're med-surg, if you only cater for 16 patients, I know your unit is already closed. But for emergency, we are not, even though like our capacity is only, but we're still open 24/7. And also, I just want you guys to understand us, that especially if we have MASH casualty, so we will entertain all those patients and we're always
that's
like
the problem with ER.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, we are trying to be superheroes and all that, but again, we only have one body and we only have limitations and our physical strength. We're not, as what Anna was saying, we're not turning any younger. So that's why we filed this assignment despite objections. So we there's like an online form for us, and then we send it to our union, and the management will be responsible for that. So if you think that you are, if your gut is telling you that it's not safe for you to practice, knowing that you cannot monitor everyone, like everyone die at any instance.
That's ER for you.
Exactly. So it's patient safety is the number one priority. That's why if you guys are not comfortable, like, inform your charge nurse or do an ADO, do a harbor or whatever your state legally mandates you to do, especially if the staffing is wild and crazy.
And yes, in ER, you cannot close a unit. You cannot elect we're full. No bag available. And
no
you can't really turn away your patient because of your
EMTALA violation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't refuse patients until they're medically screened, which means the providers, NPs, PAs, or doctors have assessed they're not emergency. But guys, we're open. the whole time, regardless if there's like a mass casualty around, somebody's shooting around, like there's a disaster, there's a hurricane, there's flood, ER is open. So yes, I'm sorry, but if there's an empty bed there, we're gonna bring the patient up. We need the bed. That's a truth though. It's stressful in the ER because imagine, Marvin, we have to take care of prego patients that couldn't go to LND. We have to take care of ICU patients, CCU patients. In my case, I even had to handle CV ICU patients. I'm not even CV ICU trained. I would not be comfortable in CV ICU because, I mean, you know, these patients are very like critical, like very, very high acuity, more than my level of I feel like more than the level of my capability, but it's scary. So what do you guys think about where we're looking at the screen? This is what Nurse One's photo is all about.
This is like a dream for some of us.
We're still dreaming about it.
In OR, I'm living my dream.
I think I'm in the wrong specialty and in the wrong state.
For me, working in med surge, 1:4, have one hospital we're in, the average is like 4 to 5. It's in Kentucky still. It was like one of the best experiences for me. It's like a really, really nice thing. And we had the aides and we had the charge nurses. So 4 was like a blessing. Okay. So the only thing is I left the hospital. I left the place because the rate went down for the travel nurses. But if given a chance, the rate will be back. I will hop on to that kind of ratio anytime.
Have you tried, Nurse One, have you tried California?
Sir Marv, after, during my first contract here with my staffing agency, I tried to buy out because I was planning to go to California during the COVID time. But I got my manager, but my manager for that connect, so for that agency, was a little bit an a-hole per se. So we got in the fight and I wanted to buy my contract out. I want to get a lawyer, but it was during a time of COVID, so it was difficult for me. So I wish I just pursued in doing and just move into California then.
I have license for California. You too, right?
Yes.
Active. All of us have active California. We're just waiting for Marvin. Marvin, I just updated my CV. I'm sending it to you now.
I'm still might move to California, but I'm prioritizing something else for now. So maybe in the future, then I might move. But we'll see how life and future unfolds. Day by day.
I just want to share Paige's experience.
Yes.
In her experience in New York rehab, 1:40, 9:05. 1:60, 9:05. Oh my God, Paige. I'm happy you're out of there.
That's a lot.
And,
for
yeah.
Is this, what is this? Oh, outpatient rehab. Yeah, that's why we get those patients in ER, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, they just had fever today and they have pneumonia. Well, I'm pretty sure that's been a pneumonia for 3 days because the patient is like septic, MAP is like 50. That's not this morning.
There's one question. There's one comment here from Jorly Jabonete.
Yes,
she said that she has a contract in Missouri. It's 1:6 that she's gonna go to, and she said it won't be an issue for her because she's used to having 1:10 for 12 years. I'm not sure which place, but it really depends. Really, sometimes one out of six in some hospital is heavy, some it will be an easy PC. So, and also depends on your experience as well. But having 12 years, most likely it will be an easy job for you.
Yeah.
So, my question is that floor or PCU, or because if it's PCU, it's like step down, right? So it's still busy. Because if that's PCU, they could have drips in there. So 6 is still a lot.
A lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So sorry about the bar interruption earlier. Back quickly. So going back to the California thing. So you guys are still welcome to join me here in California, especially for those. So I just want to tell you a story regarding our traveler. So our facility, they consider it as a very travel-friendly hospital. So if I have given the chance to like precept a travel nurse, so usually about 3 days, so they always like shocked because some of them are coming from the southern, from the eastern states. So they said like, oh, you have 3 breaks, and then like every 4 hours you need to go on break, like uninterrupted. Like, yeah, we have to get
wow.
And then like, oh, I have an ICU
break. What is that?
Yeah, and then I have an ICU patient here. Oh, one is to two. I'm like, what? Really? 1:2? Even though like my patient is like a soft ICU. I said, like, regardless whether it's a soft or a hard ICU, ICU is ICU. So it's in Christ. It's in a mandate. Like, what? And then they said, like, oh, I have this like a stroke code. Don't worry, there's a lot of resources. Like, she was shocked, like, oh. How come I have the neuro here? I have like the pharmacist here. I have this team over here. I have my techs. I have another RN. I said like, wow, really? You have this? I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So your focus would be like patient care, documentation. I said, wow. So most of the time, especially when they're very good travel nurses, they sign up. So if you're going to check, the number of travel nurses who became staff in our facility is like 40%. So, and right now, most of them are still there, and then our retention rate is still very, very good. That's the reason why California is one of the best states for nurses, because number one, we try to as much as possible provide safety among staff, because if you secure staff safety, for sure your patient safety is never at risk. Yeah, that's welcome, guys. I know you have California licenses, just try.
right.
I know. Our backup plan for more.
Yeah. Just guys. I mean, it's never too late. It's never, never too late. I know I have already tried to influence Paul. I talked to him and also
multiple times. Yes, I was going to say.
Yeah. And then there are opportunities also for you, Nurse Juan, and also Miss Anna, if you really want. So just try, and then like if you don't like it, you can go back to your previous facility. But for sure, you're gonna extend.
Once they're in California.
Yeah, once you're able to get the California cold. Yeah.
And you know, to be honest with you guys, I think this is gonna be my advice, because the only reason why Marvin invited me multiple times, and I would really, really love to actually have California license, but the only reason why I'm still here is because I bought a house here. So, guys, this is my advice. Don't buy a house if you're not sure where you want to go, all right? What I want to say, try everything first. Like Nurse One is doing, he's traveling, so he has more flexibility. It's hard when you're already tied down in one state. I think for you, buy a house when you're 5 to 10 years in, right? Mm-hmm. When you're more settled. Because if you're new,
yeah, look at me. I waited 9 years to buy a house. So I was
because you have to have a certain level of maturity. Plus, when you have a house, it's difficult to move around already, right? But hello, we're still young. I can fly to California anytime I want. So that's the thing. So I can still go to California and practice as a nurse. So we can share more.
Yeah.
We unlock.
So we have a comment here from Miss Lorena Malanog, and she said, like, haha, Dr. Nurse Paul, I guess. So, like, to be honest, when I used to work at Intech, sometimes I don't. Luckily, if you have a break, it's like, yeah, but in California, it's mandated. So, if you did not receive your break, for example, the first 30 minutes that you need to clock in and clock out, that's equivalent to 1 hour. And then they can actually like trace it from the, what do you call it? You have to sign a logbook that you are not able to get your breaks. And then they will give you that as double time. And then the management will ask you like, hey, what happened? It's not punitive.
Double time?
Yeah, it's not punitive. It's not, you're just asking you like, what went wrong? Yeah, it's double time because it's more than 12 hours. So
yeah, I'm about to call the Texas Board of Nursing start writing this down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you missed your break, especially the first 4 hours, so that's already like a meal penalty. And then that will be equivalent to 1 hour extra time or double time on your pay. But you have to, I mean, some of the management will ask you what's the reason. Again, that's not punitive. They just want to ask the entire picture why you have not gone on your break. Because like missing your break in California is very, very big deal compared before when I used to work. It's a law. Because like before, it's not like... we're eating while we're in triage. So I said, like, why are we doing this? And then sometimes, oh, we have a break. And so please In California, it's mandated for you to get all your breaks, or else your facility will be penalized.
Yeah. So, and also, that's true. Yeah, it's a law in California that they are required to give breaks for nurses. Yeah. I think for workers who's working at least 8 hours and at least 12 hours. So since we have 12-hour shift, they have mandated breaks. In Texas, it's not mandated. It's suggested. So you can, if you want to give your nurses breaks, you can, but you really don't have to.
Exactly. So when I used to work in Texas, you have a buddy. So he has four patients. Yeah, I have my patients.
That's what they always said,
break each other. Break each other. I said, I have to take care of his patients for 30 minutes. So I have eight. So you're out of ratio. So say, for example, you have an ICU and then that's like, I'm going for a break. I said, when he comes back, I said, why did you not carry out some of my orders? So it will start risk of rivalry between you and your coworker because you didn't do anything for his patients. Now, for question of Miss Lorena. So she said that she has a friend who sometimes assigned as breaker. Yes, that is true. So for us senior nurses, I'm only assigned as a breaker RN. So in every two RNs, like in every two nurses, there's one breaker RN. So we call it throughput. So it must be a senior nurse making sure that the patient flow is continuous. And also you provide breaks to them every 4 hours. So you have both, yes. That's my role. So I have only lesser patient care. So I only get there and then I'm going to check every chart, making sure that there is nothing skipped or there's nothing neglected on this particular patient. Yes, or missed or something like that. So that's my role as a breaker nurse or a resource nurse or a throughput nurse. So every 4 hours, and then you have your timer break. So I'll just put a paper. What time do you want to go on break? What time do you want to break? Mm-hmm. And then they're shocked. I said do you want me to give your medication for this patient? And they said really? And how did you know? And I told them I already read the notes of the patient or the chart. So can I give it so we can be efficient? Yeah. And that actually really helps. So being the third nurse among your group is actually a lifesaver for some of us because you will see it, making sure that nothing is missed, make sure that everything is provided, and you have another set of eyes to make sure that everyone is alive and well.
Yeah, let me tell you guys this. I know nursing forums, we've talked about HEA, how it's a for-profit, there are bad and good. You know, let me tell you this, I've experienced something similar here in Texas, and it's such a good dynamic where I'm a float nurse. I come in 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. or 11 a.m., right? And all I got to do is break nurses. I don't actually get my patients till around 4 or 5 because that's when all the breaks finish. You know, there are for example, 6 to 8 primary nurses plus the charge nurse. So what I do when I come in, I start breaking nurses, right? 30-minute block. So for me, that was one of the best experiences that I've had as an ER nurse here in Texas. So it isn't that bad because, yes, we don't have mandates, but because there's safe nursing ratios, they want to follow the ratio, right? So what happens is I started a shift, same thing, charge nurse says, what time do you want to go to shift? Who wants to take the 9 a.m. block, 9:30 block, 10? So the float nurses are going to come in at 9 a.m. start breaking nurses. So that's, for me, one of the most efficient ERs that I've worked at. We see very busy. It's a very busy volume, 200,000 a year. Can you imagine we see 200 in a day, 200, and we're like a 30-bed ER. We're level 3, but because it's the Rio Grande Valley at that time, level 3 is the highest. We're like level 1. I'm going to tell you right now, the level 3 is just in the paper. But because our nearest level 1 is San Antonio and Houston.
With San Antonio.
So we are it. You know what I mean? We are it. We have to stabilize patients. So it can get crazy, but we have float nurses too. But then again, I like what California did because there's laws, right? So earlier we talked about how we can improve patient safety with nurse-patient ratio. Now let's shift the perspective to us nurses. We've all worked in places where we've experienced bad ratios to where, I don't want to work here anymore. But we've also experienced places where great ratios, we have great ratios, like what Nurse One was saying earlier, I want to come back here if they're going to give me opportunity. And Marvin is like, I want to stay here in California because of that ratio. And Anna is like, I'm going to stay in the Orb because I'm 1:1 versus the Riyadh. So what is the effect of good and bad ratio to us nurses? Let's shift the perspective to us as nurses, mental health, physical health, and all that. Let's start with Nurse Anna.
So what is the good and bad effect of nurse-patient ratio? So from working in a nursing home, the good and bad, the good would be I tend to be more careful and I apply my personal malpractice insurance.
Yes, me too. I'm like, you know, they say malpractice insurance. And somebody told me one of the classes I attended says it's not who will sue you. It's not when are you going to be sued. Because definitely somebody will. You know what I mean? So that's the crazy part. So I was like, I know it's 1:4. It feels good by numbers. But let me get my malpractice insurance.
So I think that's the best thing that, you know, made me really, the good and the bad of the nurse-patient ratio. When I was in a nursing home, meanwhile, when I went back to OR, the good, there's nothing bad, it's all good, you know, because 1:1, who can beat that when you work in the OR? But when I was in a nursing home, I tend to be more careful, be more alert, because I was scared. I mean, this is not my first. It throw me a level 1 trauma hospital OR. I can go in, I can manage it, but if you're going to throw me in a nursing home wherein I have no floor experience when I was in the Philippines, My anxiety, my stress was, you know, 11 out of 10. And when I said, I made sure that my malpractice is always renewed annually, automatically. That's how scared I was. And then I always follow the protocol policy, like, by the book. I'm not saying that I will follow the policy by the book now that I work in the OR, but what I'm trying to say is, because I was so scared getting sued, I was so scared for the patient or something happened back to them. That's how I was working during those times. So in return, I was stressed. I don't even want to go to work. I experienced almost want to cry when I was clapping in because this is not my area. This is not my, but then again, I was in a contract before. I'm glad I was able to finish it in 1.5 years because I work 80-100 hours. My agency let me finish it because I was at the end. My contract was 3 years, equivalent to 5,000 hours. And I work more than 5,000 hours. So I think that's what can I share on you guys. How about you guys?
Nurse One, what's the effect of nurse-patient ratio to you as a nurse? You've worked in good hospitals and bad hospitals with bad ratios.
Okay, so definitely the tiring part and less overtime. If it's the ratio so high, it's like you don't want to do any overtime. So less money, definitely.
That's like, true, that's true.
Never mind. So, like I said, mental stress, of course, is always there. Sometimes you might not realize, but your body is the one like telling you if you're already tired. I really feel sometimes on my first hospital we're in, I overslept sometimes coming to work. And me and my wife together will be overslept. And I'll be coming in late, maybe like an hour late or something like that. So that was a difficult thing for me then. But honestly, the only good thing for me is I had worse experience back in Singapore, like acuity-wise. So it was easier for me here. But of course, after working in other hospitals here, I felt like I should have like just hopped onto a better hospital then. Would have made my life better. Not as close as California level, but better level in a way.
Right. Yeah. How about you, Marvin? Because you've worked in Texas and then you moved to California. Yes. What's the impact to you as a nurse?
So even when I work in the Philippines and in the Middle East, so there's also like impact emotionally, physically to my health. So I think if I'm going to give my 2 cents regarding this question, so the first thing that I want to say is when you don't have patient ratio, you are very risk of having medical errors. to be honest, medical errors. Because like, again, this results in inattention, decline in vigilance, poor judgment, and lack of concentration. Also, because of this, as what Nurse Juan and Nurse Anna was saying, it will increase your risk for burnout. Now, it's a domino effect. So once you're burned out and you are in litigation, I remember a time that I'm not a perfect nurse. Again, I'm not a perfect nurse. So there was a time that I was like one is to the entire ward. So I missed something like this. I missed giving this one. And then when I was asked by the charge nurse, why you didn't give this? Why did you want to give it on time? I said, like, I'm the only one during the night. I have the entire floor. And then we have a code on the other one that I need to help. Of course, like I need to help them because they don't lack resources. And then it was reprimanded. It was instead of like praising me, like, hey, you did a good job and in making sure that everything is like everything is prepared for the next day. But I ended up going to the principal's office and reprimanded because I missed giving this particular antibiotic. I said, God dang it. And then my morale was very low. And then same thing in the Middle East, because like sometimes I'm not dropping names, they have gangs in there, like Mafia of this side. If you don't belong in the other mafia, that's already like, that's another challenge. So, of course, when I was new, because like they lack staff and then they mass hire from the Philippines, and then it's very evident that they will give you those heavy patients right away. And then we keep on saying like, you have four patients. I give you one in the hallway. I said like, oh, I already have four. I said like, are you complaining? You're not done yet with your probation. I said, like, okay. So this is a hard pill that I need to swallow.
Wow.
I even went to the bathroom and even crying because, like, I said, like, oh, I don't want them to see me crying in front of them. So I went to the bathroom and cried. I said, like, wash, and then the show must go on. So eventually, when I moved to the US and then I realized that this is not really good. You don't need to tolerate this behavior because you really need to advocate for yourself. So here in the US, in our facility, as much as possible, we want to reduce the pros of having safe staffing or nurse-patient ratio is number one is to reduce the burnout. Now, to be honest, we are considered to be the most number of ER well-staffed ED in the entire world, according to our director, and the most expensive ED. Mm-hmm. So that's why. And then our retention rate, to be honest with you, is 92%. We still have some people who not outside the system, but they are in the management role now because they are given a lot of opportunities. So that's why they said, oh, mahirap makapasok sa hospital nyo. So I said, like, yeah, it's kind of difficult. But once you're in, you will realize, like, you are safe. Once you get in, you know the feeling that someone's helping. Like, this is actually a big thing for us. Like, if you think when you go to work and you feel that your license is secured, your mental health is secured, your mental being, everything is possible with this particular team. So with that, aside from that, we reduce number of medical errors, and then konti lang talaga because like we have a lot of safety nets, and also improve better job satisfaction and retention. Again, our retention rate is one of the highest in the US. And then it's very rare that, for example, this year, we haven't heard anyone quit, but we have two retirements. Aww. And then the other one did not actually quit, but they were promoted as managers from different areas because they said, like, once you came from the ED, you held like a charging position in the ED, you can go anywhere else because you've been to the most chaotic place. And then if you want to go to somewhere which is like chill, then it will be easy for you. That's according to them. So again, safe patient ratio is beneficial not only for your patient, but especially for you physically and mentally.
Yeah.
Right. I agree with that.
California.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's all go to California. Yeah, but for me, it's also very important because like I agree with Nurse Juan before. Like, you know, I don't want to come to work to hospitals that I work that are so busy. I don't even have the energy to sign up for extra because I just want to rest. It's mentally tiring. It's exhausting. I feel like I want an out. You know, like if I'm gonna do a PRN, it gotta be somewhere easier because your body can handle so much. You know, only so much. Yep. You can't do it all. Yep.
So talking about overtime, to be honest with you, this is our mentality regarding overtime. Okay. So it is a day that you're off. So our management will say that, so since it's your off, thank you for doing that. And we'll be giving, and sometimes if you're doing double or 16 hours, they will ask you which area of the ED you want to
you want to?
Yes, yeah, because to be honest, yes, that's our practice, because like you are done with the shift and you're giving us extra time. The mentality is not in the Philippines like the overtime shah, let's give them the happy patient because no, you are on your off and you came to us to help us, then we will give you some assignment that is actually lesser for you. Because like thank you so much for doing that, and we really appreciate that. And sometimes, here's the thing about overtime for us. Once you start the overtime, it's time and a half right away. You don't need to wait for to exceed your commitment, 40, like 40 hours for it to kick in. So once the overtime is, once the shift is overtime, offered overtime, so once you clock in, it's overtime. You clock out, it's overtime. That's how we reward people. And sometimes if our manager will, because we do our assignments a day prior. So if we lack some people, our manager will text us like, hey, we have overtime shifts available. In just 30 minutes, every shift is gone. Every shift is gone. And most of the time, it's always Filipinos who will see their names. And then there's an indication, overtime na naman sila. Then for sure, they're going to travel or something. So lahat ng overtime filled. Rarely yet you can find that the overtime shifts are like no one will take that for sure. I mean, most of the Filipinos will take that shift. It's rarely zero. It's rarely zero. You cannot say that Filipinos are not into overtimes in our ED. So overtime for us is needed, especially if you buy something or if you're going to travel.
Yeah.
I think one thing Sir Marvin forget to tell is that may affect like stress is the travels. So if you're super a lot of like stress in the place, you tend to travel more.
True.
Travel more outside of the US or anywhere. So that's typically way for me personally is to desensitize myself from like the workload. So sometimes money is not really worth it, especially if the working conditions are that bad. So for those watching, try to get both. Okay, good money and good working conditions. That's the best kind of scenario. So California, it is a dream. So like what Sir Marvin is saying. So
if you feel like you're burned out, we have EAP, Employee Assistance Program. That's like 10 free sessions for like psych sessions. You're gonna use it within 6 months. Aside from that, you can go FMLA for under EDD. So I use it before when I felt like I was like a lot of during COVID times. Like we can't go out, like it was burnout and all that. So I was given almost like 3 months free time, do whatever I want, and it's paid by the California government. So that's one of the best reasons why some people wants to go to California for EDD. Even though like I was like for my mental health, like resting for my mental health, I'm still paid by the California government.
Here in Texas, if you want to go on a leave for mental health, you're gonna say, good luck. Good luck if you can still get your job back. I'm just kidding. So in short, there's nothing like that in Texas. But that's good. But Marvin, here's my question very, very quickly. Yeah. We know this is in your certain job place, and there are rules in California as far as overtime and mandated ratios and all that. But as far as the work culture, because I'm hearing very good green flags for me, right? I traveled a lot. So majority of the places I traveled here in Texas. So I feel like I've tried different flavors of ER, you know what I mean? And I already have red flags, like Nurse Juan was saying, if it's a toxic culture, or Marvin, you're saying if that's a culture where, you know what, you're doing overtime, we're going to give you more patients. I don't want to work there. I'm not going to come back there. In fact, I'm going to cut my contract, right? But I've also had hospitals that I know at the top of my head, I want to come back there all the time. Right now, if they tell me you want to come back there, there's an offer, I will. Because not because the ratio, that we don't have mandatory ratio, but also because my managers work with us. It's a good working culture. our charge nurses are very fair. You know, they take care of their nurses. So here's my question. With your certain scenario and experience, is this only in the hospital that you want to name, but I will name Stanford? Do you also hear the same thing with, for example, competing hospitals that we don't want to name? For example, UCSF, right? Or the question is, no, we're not going to try to say bad things about it. But the question is this hospital specific? Or are the California nurses actually happier? Because, you know, I have friends in San Diego, and Los Angeles, right? Some of their rates I'm seeing are almost similar here to Houston. So I'm definitely not going to work there, right? Because if I'm missing money. So is this hospital specific? Because I have very good retention rates. I love working in hospitals with very good retention rates. It's not a revolving door. It's not like today you're working with someone else new. Like, where's my coworker? Who are you? Because it's like that in most ER. Like, you're new? Where's the other coworker? She got fired or she left? I don't know. It's so toxic, right? But what do you think? Is this local or is this California in general?
Okay, so it's a yes and a no. Okay, so I'm gonna answer it's a yes and a no. So I'm gonna answer first the yes part. So as part of California Union Hospitals, most of the Union Hospitals, they follow these rules, like the mandatory breaks, and then also the part of the overtimes, and also the mandatory breaks, and also the ratio. They have to follow that rule. And that's general among California. Okay. Now I'm going to say specific. Some, especially the work culture is very, very specific. I heard good things about El Camino. I heard good things about Kaiser. Not so good things on the other competing hospitals. So here are the things that you need to find out in California hospitals. Number one is, I'm not going to say, majority, but according to studies, if your hospital is providing a fee, I forgot the name.
Sign on bonus. The higher the sign on bonus,
the higher the red flag.
For $50,000, you're like selling your soul to Satan.
So studies have proven this one, that if you have a bigger sign on bonus, it goes to show that they're losing people. Okay, so I remember one big hospital in the northern Bay Area gave this one, and then one of my coworkers went there and then just tried. So after probation, he quit. He said, like, oh, budol pa yang si ganito. So, but how did you know? I was there. I have my badge. See, I quit after my orientation. Why? Because, like, you have to do everything. The culture is not good. So something is like that. So this the work culture is, like, work-specific, hospital-specific siya. And also, the benefits are also, like, facility-specific. So for us, we don't have, like, the retirement benefits. Like, some of the some other hospitals, like especially state funded hospitals, they have this retirement benefits after 5 years you're vested with pension. Kami wala. But our financial advisor is saying, why are you going to enjoy your retirement benefits if you can enjoy the money now? That's why we're paying you higher, and then that's why you are given like a bigger match up with 403k or Fidelity and everything like that. So again, I've been to some hospital. I did travel assignments too. And then I'm not saying that my facility is perfect. So for as long as there is freedom for you to express your creative thinking and critical thinking, you feel the environment is helping you, especially your leaders, because to be honest with you, our management, they're not perfect, but they're amazing. They're very human. They have this human approach that they will understand you first. They will talk to you in person. They know you by your name. And we have managers that is actually 24/7 coverage. So there we have in our ED, we have like 8 or 9 managers and 1 director. So, and then we limit like things that we value everyone's voice, especially if we think that your voice is valuable to improve the ED flow, improving the morale of the staff. So we value it. Again, I look for this characteristic in one hospital, that there's open communication, there's clear like process, rules, and then also compensation and also the credibility. So I find it in this particular hospital. That's why I told myself, like, yeah, it might not be perfect, but like I've seen all those checks, all green flags, I'm all for it. That's why I'm inviting people. Like, if you think that you really wanted to be in California, just go in our facility and I'm going to help you. Especially if you have questions regarding the interview, I can help. But of course, I cannot give you the questions.
But that's good. So,
no offense, Sir Marvin.
Yeah. Again, watch out for those red flags. Also, try to ask people, if you know someone who is working in that particular facility, what's the work culture? Again, it's as what Nurse Juan and Nurse Anna was saying, it's not about money. Although you're being paid. So if you go, by the way, there's a website in California that you can see who's the highly paid nurses among the county. You can actually see most of them are Filipinos in the top 10, like 600, 700,000, 800,000 a year. Yes, that's true. You can earn that, especially if you work in a particular state. But the stress environment, when I asked them, like, oh, what's the working environment there? Oh, there's a lot of bully. There's a lot of mafia going on. There's a lot of this one. So, like, right? Yeah. And then, like, here's the
thing. Is it truly worth it? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And the application is really, really, like, messed up, because I tried to apply and then after 2 days I receive a rejection letter informing me that I don't have acute experience. I said, like, I work at this particular level one trauma center and it's even there. I said, like, mm-hmm. And then I asked my friend who's actually there, I said, like, why do you think they didn't actually consider my application? I said, like, oh, there's already someone for that position.
Well,
that's a big bullet that I have dodged, because like I was trying to, because like I was so envy during those times, I was so envy. I want my name to be in that top 10 particularly, because I want to earn 600,000 a year. Yeah, but
can we Google that top 10?
I will give you the website. Hold on.
Yeah, but the question is, like, I like what Juan said earlier. Sometimes it's not about the money too, because, you know, like during COVID, guys, I was working 5-6 days a week on top of NP school, right? So I realized that after a year of doing that, my mental health was declining to the point that I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm bringing the stress from work to home. I'd literally be so empathetic at work, but at home, I'm like a stone. Like, can't even talk to me. I don't have an emotion anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you're dead.
We would be out with friends. Of course, there's still COVID restrictions, but I could even laugh at their jokes because my brain couldn't process it. Like, I don't have emotion. And they're like, that's not you, because I'm usually, you know, one of the loud people. A bubbly person. But something like that. So I realized it was also turning me to a different person, probably because I'm working too much. So sometimes money is not the reason, you know, not how do you say that? It's not everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think for Nurse Paul, for Marvin, and Nurse Juan, you know, when we were new, when we are newly arrived of the Philippines, there are phases of being an immigrant nurse. During the first 3 years, we are called the hustler nurse, right? We sign up for all the overtime.
Yeah.
First, we want to, my point was, the reason why I was taking a lot of overtime during the time was I want to learn more, because I don't have experience working in exact floor. So I want to learn more. I want to be exposed. And then later on, I took the advantage of bringing clients or patients to all different hospitals in New York City. We have an ambulance. So for me, that was a free ride. So I was able to, you know, visit all the hospitals, riding the ambulance, bringing the client for the clinic appointment. And then, of course, the overtime. So, you know, I was sending money back home. So both are during the first 3 years. But then later on, when you're out from your contract, you're getting the real pay from the hospital, you can lessen your overtime, and then you become a traveler. So, you know, I think there are phases being an immigrant nurse and knowing nurse information, if you are a newly hired nurse and you're working in US right now, don't worry, it will be over soon. You will be free from your contract and probably work on your California license and go to California for Marvin work. And for those who are currently, please take note always what DME, you can learn more, prepare for your US or your American dream. Even if you're here, I'm still learning. Everything is a learning game for nurses. And I'm so happy that I met these people. You need a great support that will help you, you know, that you can be yourself, your real self, without, you know, bullying you, without harassing you, without judging you, whatever choices you make. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful I have these people in my life. Galifora and Kay, we miss you, Kay.
We miss you, Kay. Although she's active, she's active in the chat right now. But, yep. And okay, final words, guys. How important is advocating for nurse-patient ratios where you work? And what can we tell nurses right now here in the U.S. that are struggling with nurse-patient ratios?
Okay. So by the way, a while ago, we were asking about the website. You can see the highly paid nurses in particular county. So Nurse Anna actually put it in the comments. Yeah. It's actually transparent, Transparent California. So as you can see there, like the top 10, their salaries are like 600,000 and up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Highest paid nurse is Kim Huang T. Truong, is a clinical nurse from Santa Clara and 664,501.58. Okay, Kim, thank you so much.
And then most of them going. Yeah, thank you for your service. So my final
thank you for your service.
So my final words. It's not about. You have in the Philippines before. We felt that someone is above us always. Like our nursing is not enough, but here in the U.S. we're in the same. We're helping our team to give the best experience and care outcome for our patients. Now, there are three things that I need to tell you. Number one is you need to advocate for yourself. Wag na po kayong mahiya. If you think that you feel that if your gut is telling you that it is not safe, I'm gonna risk my license. I'm gonna kill my patient. I'll be jobless tomorrow. Please don't do that. Listen to your instinct. And then advocate for yourself. Inform your management, inform your leader or inform your charge nurse, hey, charge nurse, I think I have a lot of things to do. Can you help me? Because if you fail to advocate for yourself, you're for sure going to risk your license. You're going to risk your patient's life. The second thing is it's not about money. Now, sometimes they always say it's always the grass is greener on the other side. And also they say the grass is greener where you pour it. Now, environment plays a very important role, not only for your physical self, but also for mental well-being. Would you like to get a lot of money than your coworkers are a lot of marites and a lot of backstabbing and the work is so toxic? If you go, yes, I'm earning big, but those money for sure will be used for your medical expenses later on. So I'd rather be in a place that we have a lot of, we are united, cohesive, we talk openly, without any judgment. There's always a safe zone for us. And also we develop this work-life balance. Again, if you find that particular job that you are loved, valued, and you are given this creative and help you develop more opportunities, then I think you found a gold mine. And lastly, I just want to tell all those incoming Filipinos, please, there's a lot of red flags in every hospital. Try to do your research about it. Try to ask someone who's working there, what's the culture? Try to check your review for Yelp with a grain of salt. And then try to check also about what these facilities are good for. Again, there's no perfect facility. It depends on your expectation. If you think that all your things, like the things that I like, which is open communication, credibility, leadership, and compensation are there, then You just found a good place to work. And the most important thing about safe patient ratio is patient safety. So once you feel safe, your patient is safe. Right?
True. So for me. Nurse Juan.
Okay. Add on lang for things that what Sir Marvin said. So for mm-hmm. me, protect your license. Because protecting your license, protecting your future, protecting your family. So that's the number one thing you have to take note, guys. Okay. And also like the research part, you really have to do your research individually, mm-hmm. not per state, sometimes per particular hospital. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because just heard it a little bit last week. I spoke to some of my colleagues. They're working in a HCA hospital in Dallas. And they said some of the setup is not as really good. Not much help, not much benefits. Yeah, it's like they have a good ratio. It's like 1:1:3, 1:4, but there's no 8. There's no like charger is going to help you.
No.
So you really have to ask those questions. So,
yeah.
And they don't even have like a transport people to push patients to like finish bed. Yeah. So one of my colleagues was like a small Filipina, and she, I think she has to push her patient. So from ICU, she has to push her patient by herself. Oh. So I was like, that's not like not a good place to work, really. That's a red flag, definitely. So
you too much work, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. And even though they have the same program, same ratios, you have to see how they handle things. So it's really mm-hmm. nice to connect with someone like through Lefora. To connect them, get some information on how they really deal with patients or their mm-hmm. like care setting. So just to give you a better idea, okay? Because some of you might have the idea of USA, so it's like California setting, but unfortunately, mm-hmm. it's not. Okay, I think like Sir Paul said, there's only like 4 states has this mandate. So other states doesn't have it. Okay, so mm-hmm. it goes whatever it goes. So unfortunately for us, so you really have to be prepared for this. One thing that can really help you is to have an experience. Okay, mm-hmm. I read someone in Lefora, like they're saying like really hard for them the first few months. Usually I see this if you're a new nurse. Okay, but if you have like a seasoned nurse or more experienced nurse, those things can go faster, like a week or 2 adjustment and you're done. Okay, but if you're new, there's a lot of uncertainties. So what I can advise just for you just to hold on, learn some stuff, do some more research, and just learn. And eventually it will get better, get easier, especially the anxiety part. Okay, so being an anxious person before, it really gotten better like after a few years. And to the point where it's like... it's like, wala na akong pakialam. It's like, okay, I'll get this. So just hold on, guys. Okay, it gets better through experience.
You know? All right. How about Nurse Anna? Thank you, Nurse Juan.
Wow. Final to add, if you want a better nurse, patient ratio, go to the LR. 1:1. Walang kawala yun. Matic na yun. Basic. But you know, when you arrive here,
yes? Wala bang 1:0?
Di pa nagsalita.
No, worth none. 1:1, you have a CRNA, you're not gonna do medication, you're not gonna post antibiotic, you have a scrub print. No, I'm just kidding. Well, expectation versus reality. You know, money for expectation. It will be difficult during the first few months or weeks. Give yourself time to learn and let what my amazing colleague was saying earlier, advocate for yourself by educating yourself and advocate for your patient and a lot of prayers and divine intervention. And go be shy to learn, ask questions. Watch DMT a lot every Sunday. Follow these wonderful people for Marvin as education and academe. Nurse
Marvin
one,
the Explorer.
Subscribe. Yes.
Getting names I'm one,
follow our nurse influencers and turn on notifications so you can receive notifications when they upload reels right away.
Yeah, follow the partner phone. He loves to give free classes. Saka ba naman yan? Noon pa na ko wala yan.
Yes.
And okay, even if he's not here, he posts a lot. Alam niyo, so educations are out there. Free. Well, you have no right to tell us now. Oh, I already know that. There are resources. Just give yourself time for learning them. And go through the minute on a great moment or not, do not stop praying for your American dream. You know, right, thank you everyone. I'm so happy for being here. How about you, partner?
Marvin, Juan, and Anna said really great points. I think we're all over the place because you guys said anyway, but my message to everyone is advocate for nurse patient ratios. Know how much patients are given to you before you accept the job. See what the state mandate is, because like I said earlier, like we talked about it, not majority of the states don't have a ratio. So be prepared that when you go to work, they might give you more patients than what is mandated or what is accepted in your policy. Know the policy. And also advocate for a nurse patient ratio at the local and state level if you can get involved. I'm involved with Texas Nurse Association, Texas Nurse Practitioners. In my own little way, you know, I advocate, I talked about it in my own little community, but advocate for nurse patient ratio. It is about time that we talk about these things, right? Mm-hmm. Nurses, like Juan said, like Marvin said, safe patient ratio means patient safety, means overall healthy nurse, physically, mentally, not exhausted, not unempathetic, nurse full of compassion. I want to highlight this to all nursing leaders, hospital owners, corporations. We have to take care of our nurses. If we want our nurses to take care of our patients and community and follow all these quality rules and press Ganey, scores to improve your reimbursements. And surveys and, you know, have the community love you and give you a 5-star in Google review. Take care of your nurses. Because if the nurses are not happy with their jobs because of all these issues with nurse-patient ratios, assignments, workplace culture, toxicity, right? Nurses will not really last. We want nurses in the bedside. We have to do something about it. Let's all focus on the well-being of nurses as well. We cannot provide patient care to the highest quality if we are not 100% well. You know what I mean? It is very hard, very hard. But that's about it. Thank you, Juan and Marvin. You guys are invited again. And every Sunday, of course, you guys are invited. But Nurse Anna, next week our show is about, this is your choice, Anna, okay? Hot topic, especially in my Facebook Reels and Instagram Reels. Follow me for more information. But we're going to talk about APR and scope of practice. Like, what is APR and scope? What do they do? And full practice authority, collaborative agreements. Do I call you a golf cart? Should you or should you not? We are going to talk about that next week. And guys, tomorrow, all right, tomorrow morning here in the States, it's Monday, September 16, 8 a.m., I think. I have a free class in my Facebook, also through AMN. It's going to be Next Generation NCLEX Case Study, 1 hour. If you guys can join me, but it's also going to be uploaded in YouTube. And that's it. Thank you, Nurse Juan. Thank you, Marvin. Guys, please follow great leaders in the nursing immigration community. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Have a great Sunday. Yeah.